Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 14th, 2012, episode 358, sponsored by FeedXL.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Horse World. Good morning, Jamie. And I am feeling bad. I have beaten this thing off with a lunge whip. I am not letting it take me. Telling you. That and a lot of
You're
drugs.
You're talking about your illness, not a home invader, right?
That's correct. Yes, my illness, which could be a home invader. I'm fighting the cold off. I'm not letting it take me. I'm beating it.
Well, I do appreciate you sending it over to Chad, so that was fun. Between hearing you whine, okay, Jennifer, what is it about men, you guys, seriously? You know, Jen and I, we get a cold, and, you know, I still have to go feed. I have to get the stalls done. I have to get the horses ridden. I have things to do outside, and a man, like, gets sick for 10 minutes, they're like, oh, God, I'm dying. I can't get up. I need soup. And can you bring me the... Blah. Like, seriously, you guys are wusses. What is wrong with men?
Yeah.
We are good at that. I admit that we're good at that, and it's something that we reserve the right to do.
I was so frustrated with men yesterday after hearing Glenn all morning, like, oh, I just, I don't know if I can do this show. I feel so bad, and then I literally get off the air with you, and I walk in. I'm like, whoa, God, okay, glad that's over. And Chad's like, honey, can you get me? I'm like, oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
And I think horse women are less tolerant of us men, too. I think you have to admit to that. I think it's true.
Oh, well, we're less tolerant to anybody being, you know, slower than us. I mean, my God, the women have a barn walk. We have a place to go. You take a man into a barn, and I'm like, hello, come on, hurry up, come on. And men are like slowly meandering. But dear God, you take a man to a sporting event, and they're just like, chop, chop, come on, let's go. We got to get the thing, got to get the first pitch, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, I tell Chad all the time, I'm like, can you use your sporting event walk at the barn, please?
Honeymoon's over. Hey, the other thing that Jennifer, speaking of fast walks, Jennifer is a fast packer. Oh my God, we're not moving. 2 weeks from today, we pick up the moving truck and we start loading. She's got everything but my underwear and a spoon and a plate packed. I am lucky I'm still doing the show because everything else is packed. I said, okay, we still have 2 weeks yet. You cannot pack just everything. You have to leave some things out.
Why? You will use a paper cup, Glenn, and you will like it.
Right.
I can't cook dinner if there's not even a pan in the house. I can't do it. Sorry.
We will eat out, and you will like it.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, Wiley Leslie Wiley stopped by to enlighten us about some fascinating stories over there on HorseNation.com. And New Vocation is back with another awesome ex-racer awaiting adoption. And being Wednesday and all, the Horse.com's Horse Health Report is here. It's all about choke this week, so have a sip of water, clear your throat, and enjoy the ride, folks.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, and my daily winning. So that's Lisa Bick, who said, squealing like a little girl right now because Scott decided that we should try to come down to Rolex next month. And she followed that up by saying they are coming. She's bought the tickets. She's coming to Dressage on Friday and the Cross Country on Saturday. And I hope we get to meet you, Lisa. And I want to remind you, Lisa, that right now the Clarion Hotel there in Lexington, right on, what's the name of that street? Help me out here. Newtown Pike, right down the street, 4 miles from the horse park. As far as we know, you can still call them and get the $99 rate. They haven't told us otherwise. So it's $99 a night there, which is the cheapest you're going to find around for that quality of a hotel. And just use the Rolex Experience as a code when you call in to the Clarion, and you'll get that $99 rate. Plus, tomorrow we're starting a contest to get free rooms for Rolex, and we're going to be starting that contest tomorrow on the Eventing Radio Show and here at Horses in the Morning. So we will be announcing that tomorrow morning. So listen in, Lisa, to see how you can win. And, Jamie, you said you had some people saying, well, I already booked my hotel.
I know. I'm like, I already booked my hotel. Well, cancel it. This is better and cheaper, and we'll all hang out. Duh. So they may have rooms left at that. May have rooms. And then also, we got something super amazing to tell you about tomorrow regarding Rolex hotels. So just stick around tomorrow. You definitely want to tune back in because we are going to let you know a special way for you to get a hotel room. And you know, just call and try. If you can cancel your hotel room. I still have another hotel room booked. I should probably cancel that. Because then I decided to stay at the Clarion with everybody. So I definitely need to redo that. And $99 a night is just such a deal.
And, you know, if you book it through, I think, if you book it through one of the organizations like Hotels.com, then I'm not too sure about canceling. But if you've called the hotel directly, then usually you can cancel up to 24 hours ahead of time. So,
yeah,
it's an easier thing. By the way, this is for you, Lisa, for getting to come to Rolex. They will be cheering you as you walk in to sit down, I guarantee you.
You know, Eventing Nation, Glenn's doing something really cool. They're having people write about their first Rolex experience, and they've had a couple of them already, and that's over on eventingnation.com, and they have one posted today. And it's just so awesome to hear people write about, as an adult, like going to something like this. I call it the annual pilgrimage, going something like this and having your first experience and what it's like and how – it just, if you haven't been, at least go read these and they'll inspire you to go. My first Rolex, I was like 9 with my dad, and it was not even, it wasn't even like a world championship 4-star back then. It was just like prelim and intermediate and advanced. So it's just such a great weekend. So everybody, please try to make it if you can. Just for yourself. You should do
All
it
right.
for yourself.
Jamie, this is for you. Maybe.
I kind of forgot to do a Daily Winnie, and then I just looked on Facebook and saw that Robin Donahue posted this. It says, just finished yesterday's show and wanted to share that my first time of babysitting went like this. Rambunctious child, hit head, then cried herself to sleep. Then I watched TV, not Harry the Bunny.
I did watch that Harry the Bunny video from yesterday. You're right. That is one scary little creature.
Chad was like, wait, that is that the bunny with the giant hands? And I was like, yes. And he goes, do you remember at Christmas time we went over to bring them like Christmas cookies and the kids were watching it and Chad visibly was scared. It's like the weirdest thing. So Robin, your style of babysitting suits me just fine. You ran around, you hit your head, go to bed. I'm going to watch TV.
And if you missed that episode, it was on yesterday where we talked about that. Just tune into Tuesday's episode for this week. Go to horsesinthemorning.com. No really bad ads this week. We're just not doing it because I'm going to be at Kentucky Horse Park broadcasting live from there with the director of the horse park, John Nicholson. And if you've never heard him interviewed here on one of our shows, he's been on all of them, I think. He is a terrific, fun guy, and I'm looking forward to that. He's going to be co-hosting the day because Jamie's going to be out of the show this weekend. She's going to be heading out to the far reaches of Arizona, almost into Mexico, fighting the drug lords to cross the cross country on Saturday. From what I hear, they have little like shooting stations set up, and you have to dodge the bullets as you're going through cross country this event.
Now, fortunately, it is not on the border of Mexico in southern Arizona. It is just in very, very rural southern California. So I will I will be in Cali. So crossing that border is scary enough. So, and you know what's funny, Glenn, is I did sign up for another competition in 2 weeks. There's another Galway Downs, and that's a they have even up to a 3-star, I think. And I really wanted to go, and I'm like, Chad, you know, should I go? Because there's not going to be any competitions for a couple months, and should I do it? And he's like, yeah, you should definitely do it. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, sign up, go with your friends. It'll be fun. I go, wait a second. What does this mean? Exactly. That's, I'm getting smart. I'm starting to get guy smart because I said, what do you mean go? He's like, yeah, I think it'll be great. You know, you should do it. I go, what are you doing? What's going on? He's like, well, Monday, my friends have a cabin up in Vail, and it's a free place to stay, and I get a free airline ticket, and can I go, please, for like a week? Like, what? I see. You go compete your horse. I'm going to go skiing in Vail and get drunk with all my buddies for an entire week. Thank you very much.
It really sounds like a good deal. Look, you get to be a bachelorette. You get quiet time at the house. And then you get to go to a show you want. It sounds like you're the winner all the way around here.
See, but the problem is, Glenn, I still like hanging out with my husband. And they need help around the farm, okay? So,
yeah, there's the real reason.
Jose, I'm just going to call Jose. He's going to have to come a couple times that week.
speaking of Chad, what's this now I hear about Chad coming home with a new horse?
Yes, I got him a new horse. Well, we got him a new horse. You know, the sad story was that, you know, we lost our old one-eyed Palomino that Chad had rescued, you know, two-plus years ago. I didn't think the horse was going to make it the first night we brought him home. We nursed him back to health. He became Chad's little buddy and was a lesson horse for me. And, you know, we lost him a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I, aside from filling a void, you know, I also needed a new lesson horse, and it needed to be something that Chad could ride. So I told you we went shopping. We looked around, you know, some visibly lame horses. You know, people, just be honest. Just if you're selling a horse, be honest. Just tell me it has fetlock arthritis or whatever, you know. Just be honest, because I'm going to notice. So we get out there. I told you about the one horse that we saw, and Chad, like, the horse was standing in the opposite end of the field. We walk up to the gate. It turns, looks at us, gallops across the pasture, straight to us, slams on the brake in front of the gate. Like, play with me, play with me. And put the halter on, take him up. This is a seven. I want to point out that everything about this horse was a legend. Okay, I'm just going to say... Allegedly, it was 17 hands. Allegedly, it was this. Allegedly, it was that. Well, it was 17 hands. I did stick it. And it is a 17-hand, allegedly thoroughbred. He's definitely a gelding. But the lady said that he had been in training 3 days a week for a year and was a retired police horse. Well, this is all alleged. So I rode the horse, and I'm like... I told the lady, remember I said, if this horse has been in training 3 days a week, you're getting robbed, because he did not know how to turn. The only thing this horse knew really, really well was whoa. If you say whoa, no matter where you are, the horse will slam on the brakes. Very lazy. That's why I say he's allegedly a thoroughbred, because he is so lazy. So he wouldn't move off my leg. He wouldn't give to the bit. He wouldn't bend. And I'm like, there's no way this lady has been paying a trainer 3 days a week who's been riding it. You know what I mean? So,
but see, now I hear all of that so far, and I'm going, this is the perfect horse husband horse.
Well, see, that's where you get smart, because you know, we left there. I didn't like riding the horse. because he didn't bend, he didn't give to the leg, he didn't move forward, you know, all those kind of things. Well, I did end up talking to the trainer afterwards, and she's like, I haven't ridden the horse in over a year. I was like, what? And then the owner calls me. She's like, yeah, I guess time just kind of got away from me. I thought she'd been riding it, but, you know, I mean, I knew it hadn't been for the last month, but I didn't realize it had been for a year. So this horse has been standing in a field for a year, and I get on him and ride him around this arena, and he still woes on command. He did not spook. He did not bolt. He did not bug. He did nothing wrong. So then I started thinking, well, this may be a pretty darn good horse then. Like, if he's that good, I've just stayed in field for a year. So I called the lady and I said, listen, let me take him home for a month. Let's see how he does. And, like, either I'll give you back a horse that has had a month of training or I will keep him. So we bring him home and he gets off the trailer. Literally, I put him in a stall for like an hour. Then we tack him up. Chad rides him in the arena and then took him on a trail for like 2 hours. Would not
Chad
get
did?
Off the horse. Yes. This is my horse husband, who doesn't really ride all that much, loves this horse. He's like, you don't understand, Jamie. When I used to ride your warm blood, I would pick up the, I would pull the left rein, and he would just turn his head left and keep moving forward. I was like, well, that's because you didn't back it up with outside leg and inside seat bone. Hello. And he's like, that's what I hated about riding that horse. I just never did anything right. So this horse is perfect for him. He pulls the left rein, the horse turns left. Stiffly, and he loves it. You pull the right rein, he just turns right. You say whoa, and he stops. It's brilliant.
Perfect.
It's the most perfect horse.
What
I
else
know.
Does a horse really need to know when you think about it? They don't need all that other crap. Turn left, turn right, stop.
I mean,
maybe
that's
trot
it.
Or canter sometimes.
That's it. The horse doesn't know his right lead, but Chad can't tell the difference, so it doesn't matter.
And you know, it's so funny because when we first got Beaker, Beaker was a trail horse, quarter horse, trail horse. And, you know, occasionally we'd have other people that would ride Beaker, were going out on trail rides and stuff. And they'd always, these horse women like you, would always be trying to fix him. It was like Jennifer kept saying, don't fix him. Just leave him the way he is. He's perfect trail horse. He doesn't need to do all the fancy crap. Don't fix him. And it was so hard when people like you get on these horses and they just want to constantly be fixing them. And it's like, just enjoy the ride. Sit back, relax, enjoy the ride.
I think I was guilty of that with your quarter horse, too, because I got
yes,
on him.
Yes, you were. Actually, you were one of the people I was talking about.
I know. I believe it. I'm like, dude, you've got to get off my inside leg. Holy cow. It's like you turn, you pull the left rein, you just turn. No, bend. No. So at any rate, we get this horse. We kept him two days. When I went cross-country schooling last weekend, Chad actually took the horse with him. He rode around the cross-country course on this 17-hand thoroughbred who was so quiet, so dead broke. He's like, he rode him through the water jump. He took him up and down the little hills around the bank jumps. It was hilarious. So I must say that we already bought him. 4 days in, I called him. I'm like, we'll take him. We're going to keep him for you. Because, well, he needs to, you know, he's been kind of in a field for a year, so he does need some, his teeth need to be floated. He needs vaccines. And I wasn't going to do all that on a horse that I didn't own. So the vet comes Monday. He's going to have to get a clean bill of health. But I already sent the check. You kidding. So he worked out. Now, the only problem was, Glenn.
Yeah.
And I love this, was that his name was Nick. Is Nick. And I like that name. And Chad liked that name. Until the lady told us that his actual name is Nickelback. Well, we hate that band. We cannot have a horse named after a cheesy pop band. If she would have never told me his name was Nickelback, he would have stayed Nick. But Chad is like, I am not having a band named after Nickelback. That is the worst band ever. I'm not having a horse named that. And so the naming process began. And if you recall, I have a horse named Fighter Jet and I have a horse named Joe Montana. He named both my horses. So I said, this one, I get to name. That's it. You got to name my horses. I get to name your horses. I have a horse named Joe Montana, okay? Seriously, you're in for it. So after a lot of thinking and a lot of soul searching, I came up with the perfect name for Chad's horse.
Okay. I'm scared.
It's going to be now entering the show ring, Chad Jennings riding Rainbow Buttercup Unicorn Raspberry. I said we could call him Rainbow Buttercup for short. I'm like, you can even call him Unicorn. Just name him Unicorn. But you know what? Throw in Pegasus, too. We might as well call him Unicorn Pegasus. Because Chad looks at this horse and he sees a unicorn. I look at the horse and I see angular limb deformities. I see the fact that he toes in on the right, that he doesn't have a great hock angle. I see the fact that, you know, he's got very upright pasterns. Chad sees this majestic winged creature that's going to take him through the sky like a fighter jet. Anyway, so Rainbow Buttercup Unicorn Raspberry did not fly, apparently. He was not going to ride a horse named Unicorn. So he ended up renaming him, and the horse's name is now Jack, after Jack Daniels. So I've got Jack Daniels and Joe Montana in the pasture. Never did I think that I would let a husband name horses.
He missed it. The perfect opportunity. He really did. Because he could have named
Pegasus.
Named Pegasus.
Half horse, half man, with beer in hand, he strove to feel best. He's boldly rocked, he's hot to drop.
Hey, I forgot to tell you that the first billboards have been seen. Pegasus is back!
He's a mighty stallion, crossed with a human body and heart to the break of dawn. And now the legend lives on.
So the legend's living on this year. Why didn't you name him Pegasus? Out of it, sir. I needed to call Chad. I didn't know.
Oh, no, Pegasus is back. I forgot. You've got way too long until Pegasus starts, okay? Because we haven't even hit the Kentucky Derby yet, and Pegasus is the mascot of the Preakness, Glenn. So you can't even get started.
Somebody posted on our Facebook page over the weekend that they saw the first Pegasus billboards, and so he's going to be back, probably with a new song that I can entertain everybody with over and over and over again. Well, congratulations to Chad. That's terrific. He's got a horse, and as long as you don't fool with it, it should be fine.
Maybe he can
have it a no Jamie zone. You know, put what a sign right on the horse's stall that has a little picture of your face with one of those red circles with an X through it.
You know what would happen? That horse would get really hungry, is what would happen.
Well, that's great. I'm glad. And he got a big one, so now he can look down at you when you're riding.
That was the other thing, the other requirement. I think when he was riding his 15-hand quarter horse, he hated being smaller than me. Because my horse is 16'2". And he's like, I'm going to get a horse bigger than yours. And I was like, always like, honey, you're never going to own a horse bigger than mine because there's no reason for you to have a 17-hand horse. Well, slap me in the face. Wrong thing to say. So, yes, we now have Jack Daniels, Joe Montana, and Fighter Jet. I swear I will name a horse Rainbow Buttercup Unicorn or Raspberry next. That's next.
Well, speaking of naming things, my crappy list this week, and we're going to get to our first guest, Leslie Wiley, here in a minute, who's from Horse Nation. And then we have our Adoptable Horse of the Month. And you know that Adoptable Horse of the Month we did last month with them, that horse was adopted in 3 days. So let's hope we can do as well with the
Yay!
One they're talking about today. Isn't that exciting? Well,
That's
today
awesome.
I have – last couple of weeks we've been talking about potato chips a lot because it's one of my favorite snack foods and it's your favorite snack food and we're kind of addicted to it. Well, and you know, if you go to the chip aisle nowadays, oh, my God, they have so many different flavors of chips. It's like there's a war to see who can come up with the most – crappiest chip flavors ever. Well, ABC News just did yesterday. They put out their top 10 most outrageous potato chip flavors. These are real potato chip flavors on the store shelves. Are you ready, Jamie? There's some bad ones here too.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I went to the chip aisle yesterday, and I did. I was tempted to try the Pringles dill pickle potato chips. Are these weirder
than that?
Well,
that doesn't sound too bad, actually. Oh, these are weirder than that. That doesn't sound... I would try that. You know, what if we just try the Kellogg's? They're making cracker chips. and I tried the Kellogg's cheddar cracker chips, and they're okay, but I think that's like, it's like a source poor substitute for potato chips. Just give me the grease. Number
Glenn,
10.
I'm telling you, Kellogg's needs to advertise on the Horse Radio Network because it works.
Oh, I saw the ad once, and the next day I went out and bought them. I saw the ad on TV, and I never watched the ads on TV, but I ran out of things to watch on TiVo. So I had to watch live TV, and I saw this ad, and the next day I went out and bought it. I am so gullible. Anyway, number 10, Jiminy Chips Chocolate Marshmallow Potato Chips. Chocolate marshmallow.
I don't know how I feel about that, because I do love the salty sweetness of pretzels with chocolate and marshmallows, so that might not be bad.
Yeah, I had the same reaction, Jamie. I thought, ew, gross. Now, wait a minute.
I like all of those individually, but would they be good together is the question. Number 9, Lay's Cheese Lobster Flavor.
Ew.
Ew. Cheese lobster. Ugh. That doesn't even sound good on its own, putting cheese on lobster.
I wonder if that's vegetarian. Like, do they use real lobster, or is it lobster flavoring?
Well, it does say lobster flavor, so I doubt they, you know, boil up some lobsters for this baby. They probably just... number 8, Lay's. Here's Lay's again. Lay's seems to be leading the way here. Lay's Hot Chili Squid. That just sounds like fish. Like, you couldn't even use it for bait. Nobody would even, no fish would even go for that as bait.
That hot sounds like something they would eat in Korea. Chad told me that when they were in Korea, you can go to vending machines and get squid. And vending machine.
And it's not for bait? It's like for eating?
It's like they eat it. Like at baseball games, kids will order squid on a stick. Like, we get cotton candy.
Yeah. All right, number 7. Walker's Max Char Grilled Steak.
You'd like that one?
I would try that one, I gotta say. I would probably try the steak potato chips. I really would. That didn't sound too bad to me. The next one, and I love, this is when I order Chinese and get it delivered to the house. I get this every time. But I'm not sure on a potato chip. And it's from Terra. You know, Terra makes, I don't know if you guys get Terra chips out there, but they make good chips. Terra Kettle General Tso's Potato Chips.
What, is that like a spicy thing?
Yeah, it's a spicy thing. It's a spicy Chinese chickeny thing, which is why you probably don't know it, because it's a chickeny dish. And it's spicy, and I'm not sure I'd put it on a potato chip. I'm not sure about that one. It's another one where I eat the, you know, I love General Tso's. I get that all the time. I don't know how that's to be pronounced, but that's how we pronounce it. So, anyway, I get that all the time. But I'm not sure on a potato chip. Number 5, Jiminy Chips Marsala Potato Chips.
I think it's masala.
Ooh, masala. That's actually
masala.
A curry flavor. And that's my favorite curry flavor. So I would totally eat that on chips. Masala
really?
Sauce. Yeah.
See, we're not into curry. I don't like curry at all. Jennifer doesn't either, so that's probably why I didn't know that one. I definitely wouldn't eat those, though. You can have those. I'll give you all of mine. Number 4. So you're going to love
trade
this
you,
one.
I'll trade you my chili squid potato chips for your masala potato.
I want to know from the audience on Facebook, would anybody like to try the chili squid? That, so far, that's the worst one on the list. Hot chili squid potato chips. Ugh. How about, this one is right up there. How about Walker's Prawn Cocktail Potato Chips. Now, isn't a prawn a type of shrimp thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Shrimp cocktail potato chips.
You know, let's just go ahead and try to avoid completely any under-the-sea flavored potato chips, like any fishy chips. Gross.
And that seems to be a theme here. Number 3, Hers Baby Back Ribs Potato Chips. Yeah, baby, I would try an entire bag of those just sitting right there. Number 2, Walker's Lincolnshire Sausage and Brown Sauce Potato Chips. Now, who even thinks about that?
What is brown sauce? That sounds gross.
It does sound like you'd be taking these out of the bag and they'd be dripping. You know, with brown sauce.
I tried brown sauce once, and I thought, oh, brown sauce. I was thinking, you know, brown gravy. No, No, it's not. It doesn't. It's not related to gravy at all, people. No.
And I'm on Walker's website here, and here's some of their others. By the way, this is out of UK, so probably our UK listeners have eaten these. They also have sour cream and spring onion, which, you know, sour cream and onion's pretty good. And then they have Birmingham chicken balti, which I have no idea what that is. But there's another thing you shouldn't put on a potato chip is chicken.
That's not normal.
And then the number one potato chip for the most outrageous potato chip flavors, and I disagree with them here. I would have put this way below chili squid. And that's Lay's Natural and Cool Kiwi-flavored chips. Have you noticed that everything is kiwi now? They're using kiwi in everything?
Yeah, I'm so allergic to kiwi, it's not even funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Makes my tongue swell up, so I would definitely not eat these. This is a good tip, you guys, so I think you should try it.
All right, well, there was a couple on there we would try and then a couple that we wouldn't. I want to know who is the sucker in the audience that would try the hot chili squid potato chips. I want to know if there's one person that would eat those. And that's put out by Lay's. Lay's is a big chip company.
Why would Lay's make, like, lobster flavor? What is it, like $25 a bag? Because lobster is so expensive.
That's true. That's funny. All right, and you have to have it shipped in dry ice to eat them. You know?
Yeah. Straight out of the sea.
All right, that's it. That's my top 10 outrageous potato chip flavors. This show is sponsored today by FeedXL. We're going to get to our first guest here in a second, but FeedXL is the sponsor of this show. And Jennifer, now you went not too long ago to FeedXL and you took a look at what you were feeding Beaker, and you're probably going to have to do that again when we move to Florida, aren't you?
Yes, I got my monthly newsletter because you can go into feedxl.com and sign up for their monthly newsletter, which is totally awesome. And it reminded me to go in and check because as the seasons change, what my horse is eating changes. So I went in and I updated what he's eating now and what I think he's going to be eating over the next 3 months as the grass comes up and such. And made sure it was all balanced again because just because he's getting enough calories doesn't mean he's getting the right kind. So I did that, and you're right, I have it set up so that I put the type of turnout pasture he's going to have in Florida versus the one here. I can have two separate pastures. So I know when I get there what I'm going to have to feed him to keep it balanced. And because I know what I'm going to have to feed him 4 weeks from now, I can start transitioning him so that when we get to Florida, he doesn't have this giant sudden change in food stuff. So he will have less risk of digestive upset, less diarrhea, yay me.
And also probably some psyllium in that mix there because it's going to be a little sandy where we live.
Sandy, yeah.
Yep. All right. So feedxl.com. Check it out. You will be thankful that you did, and your horse will be extra happy too. Well, we have our regular now guest. She's coming on here every week, usually on Mondays at 10, but we had our special episode with all the ESMA winners on Monday. So she was kind enough to change her day and come on here today. And that's Leslie Wiley of horsenation.com. And, you know, I actually, from what I heard from John, her boss over there, he thinks that she should be called Wiley Leslie because sometimes she's a little wily. But is that true, Leslie?
Hey, guys.
Yay.
How are you?
I think it's interchangeable, reversible, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, you've had a lot of neat articles over there on horsenation.com. I asked you to talk about one today, but, man, there were so many. I was going, I hope she talks about that one. I hope she talks about that one because there were just too many this week. But what do you want to talk about? This is horsenation.com if you want to follow along.
Oh, I don't know. Goodness gracious. I know I'm constantly entertained seeing, like, I'm like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I don't even know what is going to come up on the site today. Who knows? Just never can predict. But I think the story we had talked about was we launched a new series earlier this week on horses and history. One of our contributors describes herself as a history buff, you know, with a horse problem. And wanted to start writing a column that combined her two interests. So And so our Horse Nation riders, like, we don't have many rules at Horse Nation. We're kind of a lawless site. The one rule for riders is don't be normal. You know, if it's something that you could pitch to, you know, any given horse magazine, and they would think it was, you know, fantastic, but like, it probably needs to be a little weirder for Horse Nation. That might be a little too cut and dry. So that was my one stipulation for our writer who's doing the series, Lorraine, you go for it, but keep it off the beaten path, you know. So she busts out this first story that's on, you know, I guess they're called, I never knew what they were even called, but they're called cap horses or caparisoned horses, but horses in funeral processions that have that are riderless, and they have, and I always thought this was weird and had no idea like what it was all about, but they have boots in the stirrups, but they're backwards, and obviously there's no rider. So she sort of explained what the tradition was behind that, which is, it's kind of creepy, actually. I still think it's kind of creepy. Basically, I guess the rider sitting on them, but it's not a rider. I mean, I don't know. It's like a ghost or something on their back, and they're looking back, saying farewell to the world, or their, I don't know.
Well, this became very popular. This became very popular back, of course, during Kennedy's funeral when they had the riderless horse. And, yeah, they do put the boots in the stirrups backwards, and that's to indicate, obviously, that the person is no longer with us and can't ride the horse anymore. But this has been very popular for years, obviously, in military funerals and things like that. You don't see it too often anymore unless it's a dignitary that was really into horses or that was military, that kind of thing. But, you know, Kennedy's funeral is where I think most of the people today that are my age and a little bit older, you know, would know it from that.
Right.
And I did they do it? I think they did it also. I'm trying to remember if they did it in Reagan's funeral.
They did do it in Reagan's funeral. And the funny thing, well, it's not really funny. Like, it's not funny. We're talking about a funeral and a dead president here. It's not funny. Quit laughing. But the boots that they, I guess it's traditional to use like polished tall black boots for, but they had like kind of like his ranch boots in the stirrups. Like, they had like buckles and they're brown, and which I guess a lot of people thought that was kind of more indicative of his life and his relationship with horses.
Well, I got to tell you, Wiley, that the reason you don't appreciate this, and probably neither do I, is because we're too young. Glenn is just old, and he's 13. You know, the annals of history have turned before him, and he has seen the pages as they've been written. And
aren't
I
you
haven't.
Sorry you missed it?
You know, when we're pushing him around in his walker, and maybe we have to transfer him to his wheelchair and push him around the cross country course at Rolex this year, because he is turning 50 the day before Rolex starts.
Oh my God!
And we'll have to sit around the campfire and let Glenn tell us stories of old. Please, Glenn, tell me what it was like before internet and cell phones. What was that?
And now back to Leslie's stripper shoes.
Yeah, right. and I just want to point out, Glenn, that you got voted off the island last week when we put it to a poll, put the question to the people: are these stripper shoes and should I wear them? It was unanimously, the shoes are awesome, and yes.
Oh, it wasn't unanimous. There were several people on your. I watched
maybe,
that. There were several people voting
two.
For me.
One
there
or
were
two,
several people
they,
that agreed they
did.
Were stripper shoes. Oh, not one or two. There were like 5 or 10.
Are you going to go with the shoes then, since we've changed off topic as usual?
I'm surprised you guys had me back on the show this week. I was flattered. I was like, there's no way.
Anytime we get to talk about stripper shoes, I'm ready. Let's get back to the second story here. By the way, you can find the. How do you say that? Is it? How do you say that word?
I don't know.
Capricin or
Pathetic. I don't know.
If you want to see about the funeral horses, you can find them. We'll post a link to that. But you also had another story you wanted to talk about, and that was called Riding at Any Age. And
yeah,
does that include 50-year-old guys like me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've had sort of a series of stories this week about sort of centered around the idea that you never really age out of horses as you might with some other sports. And I think I said in my editorial, this grants them the unique ability to remain a constant in our lives, even as our lives are changing. One big priority, I think, for Horse Nation is that we are very equal opportunity. Like we're not catering. Like we love our adult amateurs and we want to be really all inclusive so we've got several sort of regular features. We've got one called Midlife Crisis. That's a column about a 30-something first-time horse owner who she's wanted a horse her whole life and finally she's like, oh, I'm doing it, and sort of her adventures and misadventures. We just debuted a new column this week called The Age Challenged Rider. That's written by a gal who is she's actually over 50, and just her sort of struggles with. You know, I think she turned 50 and she was like, I should give this up or, you know, take it down a notch. But no, you know, she's still out jumping around, 3 foot plus courses. And then we've got, let's see, what else do we have?
To comment on that, Leslie, just the other day we're driving down the road and Chad, my husband, says something about, when you get too old to ride horses in event. And I said, excuse me, Bruce Davidson is like 70 and he's eventing. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, what? You mean this just keeps going? I'm like, yes, we don't quit.
Sorry. Exactly. And there's the 70-year-old Japanese dressage rider who's qualified for the Olympics this year, Hiroshi Uketsu.
Tuketsu.
And we posted a video of him, and he's actually like this. I mean, he's a fabulous rider. You would never know. You would never know that he was 70 years old. It's wild.
Well, everybody, please check out horsenation.com. And just, a comment about the comparison horses is that, in the military, there is so much use of symbolism. And just every time that we go to a military dinner, there's always an empty table set. And there's this whole kind of thing that each thing on the table commemorates as far as fallen soldiers go. And we weren't, making jokes about that at all, because as coming from a military family, the symbolism is not lost on us. And I do think that the photos are beautiful. And the article that she wrote is a really, really a wonderful article. So please do go check it out on horsenation.com. And then you can also read about what it's like to be Glenn's age, trying to throw your leg over a horse. So, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us, and
we will
talk to you again next week. And what is the final answer, yes or no on the shoes?
Absolutely, an emphatic yes.
All right, she's wearing them. She's getting married in them, people. You heard it.
You know what I think would round that out is if you put the stripper pole right behind the preacher on the altar there. That would be perfect.
That would be perfect. I will think about that. I'll talk to my fiance and my mom.
Oh, you're in trouble now. I love it. Thanks, Leslie.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye. I love her. She's so fun.
You can put ribbons on it, too. Be all decorated pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. All you want to see is somebody swinging around a pole, Glenn. Don't lie. It doesn't matter who it is.
And our next guest is ready for you, Dave.
Oh, I'm sure she's thrilled to be a part of the show after that. We've got Sandy from New Vocations calling in to talk. I'm sorry, Amy. Is it Amy or Sandy?
I think it might be Amy. Yep.
Amy is here from New Vocations and with our Adoptable Horse of the Month. Now, let's go ahead and post this link on our Facebook page right now so anybody that wants to see the Adoptable Horse named Run With Heart may go ahead. So, hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Is this Amy we're talking to?
Yeah, thank you. I just had to make a comment. At 50, we still can ride.
Amen.
You go, girl. You go.
I'm still here. I just turned 50, but I understand it's a little harder when we get older. So,
well, thank God.
Please.
You know, like, I really did think my husband thought, like, there was going to be a point that it was done.
No.
And then I have to not deal with this anymore. I'm like, No.
It shifts. It's not done, but it just shifts a little bit. We just get a little bit more cautious about what we do. But, nope, I still ride at this age, so.
You go, girl.
I had to laugh. But, yeah, Run With Heart, a cute little guy. And I wanted to let you know, too, that Native Tongue, the one we talked about last month, got adopted just a few days after we talked about him. And
yay!
He is now,
that's terrific.
He's living in North Carolina, and he's going to be a low-level hunter, and they love him. So they love his quirky character, so that's great for him.
Great.
Yep. But, yeah.
All right,
and,
if somebody wants to find this, you can go to horseadoption.com if you want to play along today. It's horseadoption.com /run-with-heart. It's Run With Heart is the horse you're looking for. And I got the page up here. Tell us about this guy.
Yeah, he came to us back in November. He had last raced in October and just wasn't very competitive. After 13 starts, his record was 2-1-3. He did 15,000, which is respectable considering he was at the mid-level tracks. And then they just decided that he wasn't competitive enough, so they were going to send him to us. He came to us very kind of shy, wasn't sure what was going on, and he's kind of a late baby. He's a May baby, so he's just turning 4. So at that point in time, you know, 3-year-old, not quite sure what was going on, was very quiet. Then as we, you know, had him a little longer, then the 4-year-old year for us is always the, you know, terrible twos, but in thoroughbreds off the track, it's always the kind of 4-year-old year is the testing year. So he, you know, now kind of says, okay, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do. You say no, and he goes, okay, all right, fine. A cute little guy. At first, I think that people had kind of passed him over because he was 15-2. He's put an inch of growth on since he's been with us this winter. So he's 15-3 now and still has some growing to do. So he may finish out at 16 when he's done. Very athletic. If you watch his videos, he can play in the indoor, you know, flying lead changes, doesn't care about jumps we put in front of him, truly doesn't care. He's a natural athlete and probably the most athletic of all the horses that we have here. So we really enjoy watching him kind of play around and kind of grow up. He's really grown up a lot since he's been here. Been a joy to ride, pretty uncomplicated, and just a good all-around athlete. The only thing that has restricted him at the beginning was he does have a small chip in his knee. He got that while he's on the track, but our vet has taken a look at it, and it's not in the joint. So the vet has cleared him for jumping and said that he doesn't see, you know, an issue with him jumping as long as it stays under 3 foot and won't put a lot of strain on that knee. But very athletic, and I think he would make somebody a nice little hunter or even just a pleasure horse.
Well, I do think that this horse really wants to jump because there is a picture of him jumping like a pole on the ground, and you do not tell him that he needs to be limited to 3 feet because he wants to do it without a doubt. He is so stinking cute. And you know, I have a 15-2 hand horse thoroughbred, and it is amazing the difference, excuse me, between having a 15-2 hand thoroughbred and a 16-2 hand thoroughbred because and maybe this is just me, But I am so much more confident on my 15-2 hand thoroughbred. Is that bizarre to say that? But for some reason, I'm like, you're smaller, and I'm okay. You know, like that one hand.
Yeah, and they're more compact because he has a more compact athletic body because oftentimes he just has that shorter back. He has a lot of muscle to the hind end, and he's just light. I mean, as far as athleticism, yeah, he's got that compact body. He can turn on a dime. He can pick up, you know, a canter from a standstill. He can, you know, absolutely. They're more athletic, and he's good brain, too. But, yeah, that compact athletic body definitely lends to a jumping career or even a dressage career.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's jumping like two poles with some flowers, and he's clearing it by 2 feet. So I think he definitely wants to do it. He's really cute. So he is a four-year-old bay, 15-3 gelding. And any sort of like weird habits that he has or anything like that?
He thinks it's funny. You're handling him, absolutely great. Riding him, absolutely great. The only thing that he has about him is he is a little bit territorial about his stall. And, you know, I walk in and just tell him, hey, you know, this is enough. And he kind of looks at me like, okay. But he was sort of, I think, the forgotten child because he really doesn't know how to communicate with humans. And he really wants the attention. If I stand in there and pat him, you know, he'll soak up all the attention that you give him, but he doesn't know how to ask for it. And he'll pin his ears at me when I walk away, which tells me that, you know, he really would rather that I stay and pay attention to him, but he just doesn't know how to ask. So he acts like he's a little bit of a loner, but he really does want the attention. He won't put his head out over the stall and seek it. He'll watch what goes on. But as soon as you go in and start to pet him and pay attention to him, he absolutely loves it, but he won't ask for it. He just kind of has walled himself off a bit from all of that, but I think with the right person or just a person, you'll see that personality in him come out, and we see that quite frequently.
Do you guys give treats to the horses?
We do. We'll put them in their buckets, and most of them know what that is. Some of them are like, yeah, no. But by the time we leave here, they know what that is. But, yeah, and we'll use, you know, sometimes we'll use that even as a method for training or for a way to try and get them to understand that we're all okay. But usually for me, if they're a little bit reserved, going in and scratching them, treating them like another horse would treat them, sort of scratching them and scratching their withers, and, you know, then they start to ask us for attention, like, oh, okay, well, you're not so bad. But we'll get a lot of that.
I was going to comment on the treat thing, because I have a horse, the warm blood, we call it Dragon Face.
Uh-huh.
And he makes dragon faces, like snarling, ears pinned, nostrils flared. But it is such a joke because he does that when if you give him a treat, oh, perked up, ears up, ears up, and he will take the treat. And then the second you quit feeding him, he's like, oh, I want more. And he acts like a dragon. So his nickname is Dragon Face, and we're like, oh, he's making the dragon face, and he acts like he's the most efficient. And then you give him another, you like reach for your pocket, and he's like, ears up, puppy dog.
Yep.
You love him. The ear pinning thing, I did read here too that he may have a little food aggression, and, you know, to me, that comes from a thoroughbred that's been hungry, you know.
Yeah.
So not to say that he ever was, you know, they can be hungry in their own mind, I guess. But, you know, having some that were starved,
he definitely was. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
And you can tell the ones that, yes, exactly that have, and often, because oftentimes, too, when they're done racing and they know they're going to go to a new home or go someplace, oftentimes it's a bit of a misconception that they let them down, but by letting them down, they cut their food way back, and the horses don't understand. And, you know, I understand what they're doing, but the horses don't understand. And, yes, they can, and that's when sometimes it starts that they feel that they're hungry. And he was a bit thin when he came in, so he probably has a legitimate complaint.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say that he is cute as a dickens. I love ponies, and there's certain thoroughbreds that have pony faces.
Absolutely.
And pony head. This one has a pony head, doesn't he?
Yeah, we call him our little pony all the time. I don't know if he likes it, but that's what he does. Yes, absolutely. He just has that, and it's that compact body, dark color, but absolutely has a little boy, a very immature-looking face, and, yes, he looks exactly like a pony, thick mane and all.
Well, that's where the attitude comes from then.
Yeah.
See, that's he thinks he's a pony.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. Yes, he
just,
does. But yeah,
it looks like he's the kind of guy that just needs one owner and needs to bond, and he will probably make the best friend you've ever had. So please, everybody, check out horseadoption.com. Now, what is his adoption fee?
That's a good question.
I have it here. It's $300.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yep. We base our prices, you know, just so that they're adoptable, because our definitely, you know, what we do doesn't come from the money that we get for the horses. That's all funding. But yeah, we keep their fees low so that we can find these horses new homes, and it's based on their, if they have you know, size. His size isn't always appealing at 15'2" at that time. Isn't always appealing to everybody, and then the fact that he does have a chip, so we keep their fees low on that regard. But our most expensive horse is $700, so we try and keep everything reasonable so that we can find these guys' homes.
I love it. I love it. Everybody, please check out horseadoption.com, and we just really want to thank you, Amy, for joining us, letting us know about Run with Heart. And I actually really like that name. Oh, where is this horse located, by the way?
He's in Marysville, Ohio. At our Marysville facility.
Marysville, Ohio. All right. Well, that's a long shipment to Arizona, so maybe I have to pass. Okay, my husband's going to be thrilled.
Exactly.
Please do not showcase any horses in the Phoenix area, because I do not need another one.
I hear you. We do ship to Texas, and then from there you can get them to your place.
Got it. All right. Thank you so much, Amy. Right. Horseadoption.com. Run with Heart. He needs a home. Please, everybody, do your best. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Bye. Bye.
Well, today's song is, let me see, what do we have today? Oh, you know, I felt like a little Jeff Dawson today. Jamie and I both love, he's an old cowboy, and he's a poet and that kind of thing. And he has this one song that we played once before, I believe. It's called 90 Miles an Hour. And it was pretty much a true story, he told us. He went in to work at a cowboy ranch one day to herd some cattle, and this is what he was told. Listen to the words of this song, because this is a true story.
I got invited to a gathering here just the other day. The outfit boss seen me in town, this is what he had to say. Been a while since you helped us, things have changed here just a bit. Then he kicked the ground with his old boot and he leaned over and spit. He said, I don't know if you know this or not, but we don't use horses anymore. The new owner, he took over, and all that horse stuff went right out the door. Now don't you laugh, but we're all riding about a 200cc. Bright yellow rubber tired Kawasaki. But we still could use your help if your old horse don't mind the noise. And I'd hate myself if you got bucked off amongst all our cowboy toys. I said we'll be there at 6, sonny, and don't you worry none. Ain't no way my old horse and I would be having this much fun. Now, story, it gets good from here, cause you ain't seen so many wrecks. Why, it looked like opening day of the Kansas Speedway Motorplex. They was upside down and sideways, they was rolling over and breaking bones. I didn't know whether to keep gathering cattle or not. I'd want one on my phone. Cause it was 90 miles an hour over killing under trees. My horse and I are dodging steers and Kawasaki's. 90 miles an hour and there's cussing galore. Ain't no way my horse and I won't cuss it anymore. Now, when the smoke all cleared, my horse and I pinned every last head. The new owner, he came over and he said, what I owe you. This is what I said. while them four-wheelers is hunting places to cross and shifting gears with all their torque. My horse and I, we shut the gate on them all. We did about four times the work. So honestly, my pay should be about four times that of those other hands you hired. He looked at me and he wrote me out a check and he said, "You and your horse are fired." Ain't that a heck of a note? 'Cause it was 90 miles an hour over hill and under trees. My horse and I are dodging steers and Kawasaki's. 90 miles an hour and there's cussing galore. Ain't no way my horse and I ain't near enough money in the sky. Ain't no way my horse and I won't fit anymore. I hate them Kawasaki's.
I love that song. Jeff Dawson, 90 Mile an Hour. You can find all of his music and his poetry and everything over at ranchcowboy.com. He's a terrific guy. We love doing the show with him. So if you can, go over and buy some of his songs, 90 Mile an Hour. They're all fun.
I'm sorry. I'm not listening to you at all because I am currently on horseadoption.com looking at my next horse, a Fleet Fema. 4-year-old gelding, 16-2, chestnut thoroughbred. Oh, my God, this horse is gorgeous. He's the $700 one, of course. Of course, I like the most expensive one. Oh, by a Fleet Alex. Just
all right, pay attention.
Chestnut.
Focus. Focus.
Huh?
Focus.
What?
Focus.
Who are you?
Next
where
guest
am
is
I?
Here. Focus. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. I'm here with the unfocused one, Jamie Jennings. And the also focused one, Coach Jen, over there producing the show today. And next up, we need to play the music.
It's time for the weekly health report from horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Well, hello. We've got Michelle Anderson from thehorse.com, and if you remember, another stand-in appearance for Dr. Jackman coming in for Aaron this week, but I'd like to welcome both of you to the show. It is good to have you back, and we're going to talk about something that is very important, especially for those of us that may have an older equine, choking. So, first of all, good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Jamie.
And good morning, Dr. Jackman.
Good morning to you.
Well, it is great to have you both on. And, Michelle, I'm going to let you take it away because this is something that I've had to deal with, and I think Glenn and Jennifer have also had to deal with, is when a horse chokes. And it can be different through the different horses is the reason why, and I just can't wait to sit back and listen to you guys talk about it and get a professional opinion.
Yeah, so choke is one of those weird things that I myself hadn't had much experience with. But I did, and just recently I was at my trainer's barn and her school horse was out and he just looked weird. And there was this gut feeling like, I think that horse is choking and I'd never seen a choke before. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what that looks like. We have an article in the March issue, the print edition of The Horse, all about choke. So if you want something in depth, either go to the website and get the digital edition of that issue or, you know, subscribe for that print magazine. But Dr. Jackman, so when I think choke or when I thought choke before I actually saw it, I think of like a human gasping in the middle of a restaurant and needing a Heimlich maneuver to clear their airway. What does choke look like in a horse?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's completely different than what we see in humans. In humans, choking is because you actually block your airway, the trachea or the windpipe. In horses, what it actually means is that there has been something that has blocked the esophagus, which is in the connection from the mouth to the stomach. And so it has nothing to do with airway. It has everything to do with being able to pass food, water, you know, saliva, you know, down. And it's usually related to feed material actually lodge in the area, albeit it can also be related to foreign objects.
So related
to that, then, you know, you're not going to have a gasping or something, but usually what you're going to have is a horse that sometimes their outward appearance will just look weird, where they'll seem either a little frantic or sometimes a little depressed. Sometimes they'll stand there with their head extended, like they're trying to kind of, you know, have their head and neck be more of a straight line. And oftentimes you're going to have some type of, you know, abnormal nasal drainage, because most of the time from the horse's pharynx, stuff will come up through the nose instead of coming out through the mouth. And so, you know, related to feed, a lot of times it can even be like a very green-tinged kind of nasal drainage.
So if you see your horse doing that, well, first, could it be confused with colic?
It can be confused with colic, yeah.
When they're choking.
Yeah, because, I mean, the horses can sometimes just look very uncomfortable. And, you know, sometimes it's slight nasal drainage. Sometimes it's very, you know, copious or a lot of nasal drainage. But, you know, they can, because they look uncomfortable. They, you know, aren't showing interest in feed. They just look off their game, which obviously they can do with colic as well.
Now, can I jump in here? This may be a dumb question. Maybe you covered it, and I've why would they have a lot of nasal drainage if they're choking?
Yeah, horses are, you know, the way that they're built, there is what's called the palate that separates your nasal cavity from your oral cavity. And with horses, that palate extends further back into their throat. So horses are what we call obligate nasal breathers, meaning that they can breathe through their nostrils, but they can't really breathe through their mouths. And it's just the way that the palate and their larynx, or, you know, kind of back at their voice box, kind of, you know, how they overlap each other. And so because of that, you know, anything that's getting lodged further down there coming back up is going to come up the nose instead of coming out the mouth, because there's just not that usual communication from the pharynx back through the mouth.
Well, I can interrupt here, too. Sorry, Michelle, but, you know, you hear about choking to death with people. You know, people can choke to death and the Heimlich maneuver and all that stuff. Can a horse literally choke to death? And if so, how long does it take?
Yeah, they're not going to choke to death related to the actual choke itself, because it's not a blockage of airway. And obviously, that's the problem in humans. You know, you can't survive without oxygen. The airway is still functional in the horse. This is a lodging or blocking of, you know, in essence, that feeding tube that runs from the mouth to the stomach. So now they can get seriously, you know, some serious side effects from the choke itself, but that's not going to be an acute matter.
Okay, all right. I was wondering about that.
So your horse doesn't need the Heimlich, but probably needs veterinary care. How fast do you need to get your vet out to take care of a choke once you've noticed it?
Well, first thing you want to do is if you see a horse choking, or you're wondering if your horse is choking, the first thing to do is remove them from access to feed and water.
Because do they keep eating?
Yeah, some of them will. Some of them will try to keep eating. And the problem you have is, because obviously they can't swallow and take it on down to their stomach, what it can do then is transfer down into the windpipe or the trachea. Now, usually not in any kind of volume that actually lodges it like a choke in people. But what they can do is get a development of a secondary pneumonia and stuff because of feed material and things going down the windpipe down into the lungs. So the first thing you want to do is remove the horse from any access to feed and water until you know for certain that that choke is cleared, which basically means that the obstructing, offending material has moved on down to the stomach. I would say that if you watch the horse, some of them will resolve spontaneously, meaning the horse will relax the musculature of the esophagus and then go ahead and move it on down. But if they don't do it relatively rapidly, and when I say relatively rapidly, I mean within probably 15 to 30 minutes, then I do think it's warranted to call the veterinarian out to try to see if you know, we can get a little more aggressive about trying to clear this choke.
Now, does the veterinarian do what my mom always said when something gets stuck and you're supposed to eat dry saltine crackers? Does he bring out like a case of saltine crackers? Is that?
No, that would be a bad thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
your mom's trying to kill you, Glenn. Jeez.
Well, that's why I was kind of wondering if the mom was trying to take care of him or not. Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Keep eating, honey. Just keep eating. It'll go away.
It works. It helps get it down. That was the idea. Is eat some saltine crackers and take a drink, and there it goes. Saltine.
Yeah, you know, and most horses will choke on, you know, they can choke on their normal feed stuff, whether they swallow too fast, they don't chew it well enough. They can choke on shavings, you know, they can choke on, you know, supplements or some of the things that we think we're doing with some nice TLC, like beef pulp or things. But they can also, they can choke on hay, they can choke on grains, you know, that type of thing. So they a lot of times are choking on the normal, whatever they normally are eating. Occasionally, like I said, but rarely we'll see a foreign object, you know, if there's related to, you know, maybe something was in the hay and they went ahead and swallowed it or that type of a thing. But as a veterinarian goes, we're not going to use saltines. Usually the first thing that we're going to do is sedate the horse. Okay, and sedation of the horse there's two advantages to the sedation. One is they actually drop their head. And with dropping their head, there's actually less risk of them, you know, having feed material run down their windpipe and into their lungs and then therefore potentially cause pneumonia. So that's one of the first things we'll do. The other thing is, sedation will relax the musculature of the esophagus. And a lot of times what happens is this stuff comes down the esophagus and then the muscle's trying to move it, and so it kind of spasms over the top of it. So oftentimes sedation alone will be the number one thing for helping us to kind of relieve this choke and going down. Then the next thing we're going to do is try to pass a nasogastric tube, you know, tube in the horse, running a tube down the nose, you know, have them swallow it into the esophagus and see if we can help push that choke down. We're going to do it very gingerly. We don't want to cause any damage to the esophagus. And if we start having to pump fluid through that tube to try to move that choke on down, then in reality, that's another reason why we want them sedated head down. So obviously, until we are able to get that thing moving on down, the fluid's going to start coming back up a little bit. We want to make sure, again, it doesn't go down that windpipe.
Okay, question.
So,
sorry, Michelle, just real quick. As a technician, I was a vet tech for several years, and the common thing to me that it seemed, now these people are idiots because I would just call the vet, but what people seem to want to do is shove a hose down their horse's mouth. Why do they think that that's a good thing, and does that ever work?
You know, first and foremost, I have no idea why they think it's a good thing. You know, it's
You've actually seen a very dangerous thing.
Yeah, you have. I've heard of it. To be quite honest, less and less. So I think as people become more educated because of, you know, for a large extent, publications like yours, then reality is that we see less and less of that. But again, the big risk is really stuff going down into the lungs and the immediate, you know, aspect of treating a choke. And so, you know, anytime you try and start doing something like that, you're going to increase your chances of developing a pneumonia. And it can be, you know, it can be, if it's severe enough, a fatal pneumonia.
So I've heard of situations where chokes have ended up being surgical. What does that mean? You know, who are these horses that end up needing surgery to remove the blockage?
Yeah, and first and foremost, I mean, we do try everything to try and avoid surgery because doing surgery on the esophagus is not, you know, it's not an ideal thing. I mean, it's a bit of a tough thing. We can have some difficulties with it and some troubles with it, so we do try to avoid it. If we cannot get it released, you know, through sedation and tubing, I mean, sometimes we'll even actually just wait a while, resedate them a couple times to try and get that thing to relax. If that doesn't happen, then we will consider anesthetizing the horse. And the reason why is to actually be able to put what we call a tracheal tube down and make sure we block that trachea so nothing's going down that trachea, and we can get a little more aggressive about trying to pump this fluid. But we want to be very, again, very careful nothing's going down the windpipe. rarely, but very occasionally, we will have to actually do surgery where we incise, you know, through the neck down to the esophagus, actually incise into the esophagus to remove this obstruction because it is so firm that we cannot get it relieved any other way.
So horses that do choke, do they have a tendency to do this again?
You know, it depends a little bit, meaning that if you have some anatomical reason why they choke, there are some rare horses out there that have a, you know, a diverticulum or a pocket off their esophagus that can get filled with feed material and then obstruct or have a mass within their esophagus, then those horses could be prone to doing it again. If you actually, in a severe choke, if you try and feed them back too soon because you're going to have an inflammatory reaction, it's going to cause swelling, that type of thing, or we're feeding them with the wrong substance, in, you know, the first, you know, potentially week or 2 weeks after that choke incident, they could be prone to choking again. Or if you don't remove, in reality, the reason why they choked in the first place, if they have, you know, poor teeth, they need to be floated. That's why they didn't chew their feed up enough and why it got stemmy when they were trying to swallow it and do it, then obviously they can choke again. Or if they're actually prone to whatever your type of feeding or potentially an access to a foreign object, yeah, then they can choke again. But usually if we do take care of the offending, you know, reason why, whether it's bad teeth or whatever, then most horses won't choke again as long as the first choke didn't cause enough damage to the esophagus so we actually get scar tissue and stuff formed in it.
Okay. And then with the pelleted feeds, like you hear about horses choking on, you mentioned meat pulp or alfalfa pellets. What do you see that very often? And if you do, you know, what can owners do to make sure that they avoid that issue?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, you know, I would say that there's maybe just the slightest bit of increased incidence with pellets, but for the most part, I think, you know, I think the manufacturing of the pellets has improved, that we don't see that many problems with pellets anymore. When we do, sometimes it's just because these horses, to be quite honest, are pigs, and they're eating way too fast. It's something that they can just mouth and swallow and mouth and swallow. And one of the best things, to be quite honest, that you can do to try and slow down a horse when you're feeding them the pellets is, I mean, you can break that feeding up a little bit if you want, but you can actually just take a big rock, and I mean a big rock, one they can't swallow, put one, two, or several of them into their feed bucket so they have to eat around the rock. And that can sometimes slow down how fast they can consume that thing. And that'll sometimes help if you have one you know, choking on that type of a thing. But if they have choked, say, on beef pulp in the past or that type of thing, then in reality I would try and find some other kind of, you know, supplementation for that horse.
I knew somebody that used to put softballs in their horse's feeder, like three or four softballs. Like, they're big enough and they wouldn't eat them.
Awesome.
They just push them around in there. I don't know if it slowed them down at all, but it was very entertaining to watch them eat. The other thing is, I do feed alfalfa pellets with the rising cost of alfalfa hay, and I've started doing it, but I do, and I want to know if this makes a difference, is I take the, you know, they have some ground feeders, like the big rubber tubs, and I put the alfalfa pellets in there, and I soak them. And I put, you know, like cereal type, you know, side milk, but water up above the pellets, and then I let them sit there for 5 or 10 minutes. Does that actually help, or is that me just thinking I'm helping?
No, I mean, I think that can help. It depends a little bit on how much you soak them and how soft you make them. But I think, yeah, if you soften them up a fair bit, I think that can help. You know, but if it's just the aspect of you're adding a little bit of water to it and it's absorbing a small amount, then in reality that's probably not doing as much good as like what you're doing, where you're really filling that thing up and really softening that pellet up. In essence, you're kind of making more of a mash situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generally how we will feed these horses back after a, you know, fairly severe choke because of the inflammation. We want something that's going to be easy to move down. It's no different than, you know, us drinking something with a little bit of a slurry or something when we have a sore throat, because it's just easier for everything to move past.
Gotcha. Sorry, Michelle. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. That's okay. I was just going to say thank you very much, Dr. Jackman, and we appreciate you joining us. And I do have some resources on thehorse.com for people who are interested in more about choke. From AAEP 2011, we just had our lead story yesterday on the website. It was about using antispasmodic drugs to resolve choke. So you can look at that. I think that's still on the homepage. If not, it's Article 19519. There was some research done a few years ago, and this is mentioned in the print issue as well, about Frisians possibly being more prone to choke, some research that was done in the Netherlands. That article number is 14134. And then I've taken an article about handling a horse while it's choking and put it on Facebook for anyone who wants to check that out. And that's number 11740. So lots of resources for you in case you run into this issue.
All right, perfect. And, of course, everybody check out thehorse.com. And Dr. Jackman works for Pioneer Equine Hospital in Oakdale, California, and he is up bright and early with us this morning. I'm on your same time zone now, Dr. Jackman, so I feel your pain. This sucks.
Ah, yeah. But it's a good time to get the day started.
Yeah, you're one of those. Okay, gotcha. Rise and shine, people. Get up and let's jog a mile. No, I want to go back to bed. So, Dr. Jackman, thank you so much. And Michelle, of course, we'll talk to you guys again next week. Dr.
Thank
Jackman,
you.
if you're filling in again, we'll talk to you next week. If not, we'll talk to you very soon.
All right, you guys have a wonderful day.
All right, thanks, y'all.
Great. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Glenn, did they gross you out at all, or are you good?
I'm good, and his website is pioneerequine.com. Just wanted to get that
out. Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's been pretty good. I enjoy having him on, too. He's very knowledgeable.
I do, too. I swear I could sit and listen to him and Dr. Jones talk for an entire episode. We should just put them on. Y'all take over. Go.
That would be the Horse Health Weekly podcast.
Yeah.
Jennifer
says
if I start another one, she's going to kill me, so I can't do that.
I love it. Hey, speaking of podcasts, the Zenyatta podcast aired yesterday. It was a Talking Horses on bloodhorse.com. It was a podcast that they did on Zenyatta and our very own, well, okay, he doesn't really care for us at all, or me. Charles Campbell, the assistant broodmare manager and former, hottest horseman of the year, whether he liked it or not, was on the show, and they talked about, he helped manage the broodmare operation, and he talks about having seen her starting to look a little uncomfortable, and then her water broke, and then, she laid down and delivered the foal like a professional, and, he got up after an hour, and Just awesome. I do love that they also had Mr. Klein on, who actually is, I think he's another broodmare manager person, and they said that they're going to raise Zenyatta's foal as normally as they can, but they were asking, is it kind of different when it's Zenyatta's foal as compared to the other foals? And he was like, we're pretty much keeping it like it's the same thing, but then if you think about it, you realize that it's Zenyatta and her foal, and so you have to take some extra care. It's just a really interesting article on the bloodhorse.com. I haven't heard the podcast yet. Glenn, did you listen to it?
I tried to. The sound wasn't great. I think they tried to record it in the offices there, and it came out very echoey and overmodulated and was kind of almost tough to listen to, but you can
kind
give
like
it a
ours.
Try. Yeah, it sounded like ours some days. That's true. That is absolutely true. I still think bubble wrap, just tape the baby up till she's about three and ready to run, and we should be good to go.
Big wad of bubble wrap. Okay, it's a colt. But in the next couple weeks, they're going to decide on, well, they probably already decided, but they're going to release who she's getting rebred to. So good news is they didn't rebreed her the full heat, obviously. But just really, I just love her. I do. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only crazy person that loves this horse. There's like a billion people that love this horse. So I'm not crazy, Glenn.
No, you're not on the bandwagon. You're just there with everybody else.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Right up there. Yeah. You're not alone on this one for a change, Jamie. You're not there
Yay!
By yourself. Hey, a couple other bits of news before we go. One is that YouTube, this is revolutionary because you were in broadcasting. You know how much the Olympic Committee protects the Olympic brand. You're not allowed to use the logo. You're not allowed. It's just they're very protective. And NBC is carrying the London Olympics this year and over the summer. Well, this year they've made a deal with YouTube, and they have an agreement that YouTube will now live stream the 2012 Olympic Games, including equestrian events. So you, not only will you be, catch
Woo-hoo!
It on NBC, you're going to be able to watch it on YouTube on your computer while you're at work. You can stick YouTube up there in the corner and get away with it. They're hoping to stream 17 days of events. So the idea is that you'll be able to watch more of it, just not, you know, not just what NBC covers and then they put in the 50,000 interviews and you don't get to see any of the sports. Well, we're hoping that with the cooperation of YouTube that you get to see more of it streamed.
You know, if you can't beat them, join them, I guess. You know, that's the whole thing, is because they can't beat YouTube, might as well join up with them to be able to provide this video. I mean, apparently YouTube is like maybe like 2/3, I think, of actual internet, you know, ownership. I think they have some ridiculous amount of, I don't know what they're called.
Yeah,
they
actually, they say some evenings that the traffic on the internet, that up to 30% of it is between YouTube and Netflix. It's 30% of the internet traffic in an evening. That's just
guilty.
Amazing when you think about it.
Between that and Facebook, I mean, my God, I don't look at anything else. So I totally understand. I contribute. I resemble that remark. Hey, have you seen any of the HBO series Luck, Glenn?
No, we don't get HBO. It's not one of the ones we get. But, boy, I did hear a review yesterday or one of the TV people saying that it hasn't been doing as well in the ratings as they thought, and it may not be renewed. So.
Well, I kind of am starting to lean towards that and think that's a good idea. A third horse died in connection with the production of this show. You know, they always have at the end of movies that have horses in it. No horses were harmed in the making of this film, or no animals were. You know, we had all these, you know, the Humane Society was here, blah, blah, blah. Well, they can't. I wonder if they're going to have that at the end of the show, because this is the third horse. Now, two horses died in actual filming of the actual races. This horse was being led back to the stable by a groom when it reared up and fell back, suffering a head injury, and then it had to be euthanized. Now, whether or not this is related to the production, there's an investigation that's going to go on. They have insisted that they stop filming fully in full effect until they have a complete, thorough, and comprehensive investigation. So I don't know if it actually did stop, because this is the American Humane Society, but they're usually the one in charge of all the animals on a set. And you can't have Luck without having horses. So I would imagine that all production is shut down right now until they figure out what they're going to do. This is actually filming for the second season, so there is going to be at least a couple episodes in the second season before it gets canceled.
And they got some big names in this show. So, you know, they're probably paying big bucks out to the actors to make this show. This is not a cheap show to produce, I'm sure.
I imagine not. But, you know, looking at the cast list, I was kind of like, to me, they're big names, but they're kind of big names that are, you would probably find at the racetrack on, you know, Sunday afternoon. You know, you're going to see Nick Nolte at the track. It's probably going to happen. Dustin Hoffman, he seems to be kind of going there that way too. So just interesting to see this. And they've halted production. And the fact that three horses have died filming a show is just ridiculous.
When I was growing up, we used to visit, all my family lived in Connecticut, and the only track close by was a Greyhound track. And you talk about the Nick Nolte type. That is the type you used to see, you know, with the cigars and everything at the track. But it was even worse at Greyhound tracks. Take Nick Nolte and put him in, you know, put him in clothes that haven't been washed in 10 weeks. And that's what you had at the Greyhound track.
Hey,
that's what I remember being a kid.
That is the Nick Nolte mugshot. Have you seen Nick Nolte's mugshot?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. Everybody has. That is the Nick Nolte you will see at the Greyhound track.
That's right. The way it always was. That's what I remember anyway. All right, that's it. We're done for today. We're running out of time. So everybody will be back again tomorrow with Horses in the Morning. We have our exciting announcement tomorrow about the contest. And what it is you're going to be able to win a week, 5 days at Rolex at the Clarion Hotel. So that's five nights at the $750, $800 value. And you'll be able to win that for free, stay there for free, along with us there at the Clarion Hotel during Rolex. So we'll announce what that's going to entail tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Everybody have a wonderful day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Been trying to fix Chad's new horse. He's fine. Had like...
I'm going to go school Rainbow Buttercup Unicorn Raspberry right now. He needs a ride.
Leave him alone.